Tracy Morgan with you as we continue these interviews for our extended news at noon. We appreciate you being with us. And of course, we want to talk to the great professionals in and around our area about issues that affect you. And the Butler County Humane Society is on the phone with me right now, the director of the Humane Society here in Butler County, Jen DiCuccio. Jen, how are you?
Good. Thank you for reaching out to us.
And I will have to say, I know it's a serious time, but just to bring some levity, you have some good things that, or good people, good animals that you're locked in with. So it's,
absolutely,
you know, at
yes.
least if you're going to be quarantined, you're quarantined with a great group right there.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
yes, this
right.
Is very true. So we are continuing, you know, to do what we do best, which is, you know, providing a wonderful home temporarily to the animals in our care. And our community has really come together and helped step up and either adopt an animal, foster to adopt an animal, or even just plain fostering during this COVID crisis, which I, you know, is something that has swept, you know, the United States all across. We're just so grateful because we've been able to place over 40 animals in a home since the 13th of March, which is really for us internally, which is when, you know, the red flag said, okay, we gotta think outside of the box here, guys. Something's gonna happen. So we continue to care for those that didn't make it into a foster home or get adopted. And, you know, we still are taking in stray dogs. You know, that's a safety, you know, issue for the community. Dogs, the running loose are not good. So we continue to take in stray dogs. Hopefully try to reunite them with their families. And we are still taking in orphan kittens into the shelter, as well as any injured or stray cats that have that need medical attention.
So explain to us how you're operating right now, because, of course, when all of this broke open a few weeks ago, we had a very long list of folks who were saying, hey, we're closing our doors for the moment. You know, we'll be back as soon as we can. And if I understood it correctly, you were on that list as well as, hey, we're not allowing visitors at this time. Am I correct in that or not? And I'm just going to follow up with.
Absolutely.
Then how
so
are you
actually,
operating?
Yeah, so I actually took the step very early on and closed our doors. That was out of protection for my staff and, you know, everybody in my building, because I, you know, we did not want people coming in that didn't know if they were sick or not. And once the, you know, once the governor had announced, you know, the restrictions within our state, I still remained closed because, you know, there were so many unknowns. Obviously, my husband's in the medical field, so, you know, just knowing what was going on behind the scenes, we closed. However, we quickly adapted our process so that we were not leaving animals in the building long term without placing them, because that's not fair to them. They didn't ask for this. We didn't ask for this. So what better way for us to try to, you know, figure out and think outside of the box? So we did. So we changed our process. We adapted to it. We basically had like mini drive-through adoptions. We did things virtually. We asked people to apply online. They sent their applications in via email, and we did our phone interviews that way. And then we just, when somebody had to come and meet an animal in person, we just, you know, followed the guidelines of, you know, 6 feet away from each other.
So, Jen,
if we had to wear a glove or mask,
Jen,
did.
I'm going to slow you down for a moment, because are all those things still in place? If they are, I'd like for you to describe how you're doing those. So if you're okay, so let's go through a couple of those. So then if you're doing, let's start with the virtual. Okay, so what are you doing virtually, and walk us through that part of the process?
Yeah, so if you're interested in either fostering or adopting an animal, you would go to our website and fill out a foster application, or if it was adoption, you would fill out an adoption application. Give us a call. We can send you the link. Once you're done filling that out, you can either take pictures with your cell phone and email them right to our email address, or you can scan them from home if you're lucky to have a scanner. And then once that happens, we review the application. That process for us hasn't changed. We still call references. It's just that you don't have to come in and meet the animal initially, which is, you know, the change. So we can, you know, reduce that contact.
And so then let's talk about the drive-through, and a lot of folks right now are thinking about the food, how we put it on the porch and the next person comes. I'm sure you have that adjusted a little bit differently, but how do you do the drive-through process then?
So if somebody is interested and they're approved, then we ask that they stay in their car, and we actually take the, so we go over as much information as possible over the phone. initially, and then we just ask, you know, we schedule the appointments, and then they wait in the parking lot, and then we bring the paperwork to them. You know, we're dressed in the proper gear, and we, you know, ask them to sign the adoption contract through the car, and we hand them the animal in one of our carriers or crates, and if it's a dog, you know, we hand it off to them.
The larger dogs, how are you able to get them in the car? Are they just on a leash, or...
Yeah, so we have, we're grateful, we have actually really long leads that we can have, so really long, they're by far much longer than 6 feet, so even if somebody did have to come and meet an animal, a dog per se, that we could put them on that long leash and probably have 20 feet between the two of us.
Yeah. Let's talk about then meeting that animal in person. So is that just a one visit? Can we visit multiple times? And how are you handling that when somebody comes into the Butler County Humane Society?
Yeah, so all of the dog introductions are completely done outside with that big long lead that we talk about. And we just ask the people, you know, not cross over. So sometimes if we have to tape a line across, you know, we say, okay, don't cross over this line here. Everybody who wants to place an animal in their home wants to meet the animal first. I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's going to be the case. And we want them to meet the animal to try to gauge, you know, what kind of personality the animal has, especially if there are young children in the home. So it's so important that we still do those meet and greets. It's just more important how we do it safely.
And then any other avenue that we can walk through on how you're operating right now?
Yeah, so during this crisis, we implemented a pet food pantry. I'm grateful that we've been able to get the funding for that. We've provided, the last number I did, it was over 40 cats and 45 dogs. I know that was over a week ago, so I'm sure that number has increased. And those are drive-through style pet pantry as well. So we just schedule the appointments. They pull right up. We drop the food off. Typically, it's on the grounds. And then we step back and we ask them, you know, to come from their car and grab the food and place it in their car. Go ahead.
How do you determine who is in need? What's that process beforehand? Do you have them on a schedule as well?
In my opinion, everybody's in need right now. I mean, it's a crazy time to be in right now. However, I will say that it was geared towards people who are low income, who are disabled, who are veterans, who are seniors. And so, you know, obviously we ask those questions and we trust that the people who are answering truthfully. But if you were laid off, I mean, you could have been from a one income family and laid off and now you're low income. You know, it's tough. So, you know, we don't follow up. We don't require them to give us any evidence that they meet one of those criterias. You know, this is a time where it's not to focus on, you know, what category to fall in. This is a time for us to help each other and to step up and, you know, be there for our community.
So do you have set hours and do you have people, on a rotation basis, or how are you not running out of food?
So we try to give it to them weekly, and we have people who have donated continuously in our supply. We actually had a sponsor for this pet pantry as well. It was the Vane Institute of Pittsburgh who had the forefront of the fund. So it's not costing the shelter any money to supply the food. And then PART, which is the Pittsburgh Air and Aviation Response Team, they donated a pallet of dog food to us, which, you know, we will not run out of food. I can assure you of that. So we try to give it to them on a weekly basis and ask them to come back on a weekly basis. And then we typically hand out Monday through Friday between 11 and 2. If somebody runs out of food in between there, obviously we will make an accommodation for them. We'll still schedule it, but we will accommodate if it's not on a Monday or a Friday.
Now, whatever food that you're offering, I know people are grateful for that when dogs are switching. And I don't know if cats, can you explain the cat situation to me? But I know when dogs switch food, sometimes it can upset their stomach unless you start mixing it over a couple of days. Do you recommend that people still do that for the dogs in case this would be food that's new to the animal?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we're seeing a lot more cats, to be honest with you, getting the food than dogs. But the majority of our food, the likeliness is if you were desperate in desperate times, you could have already been feeding your animal, you know, various types of food just based on, you know, cost or spending.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is high quality food. The food that we are giving out is not, you know, for the most part, you know, it is obviously donated. However, it is high quality food. I mean, we have IAMS that's donated. You know, we have Akiana donated. I mean, there's different brands that are donated. So this is decent food that we're able to hand out. The cats, a lot of our cats that we're helping support, not just in-home cats, but, you know, there are community cats, feral cats that are out that people take care of. You know, if they have 8 community cats, that they're, obviously we can't help feed every single community cat in Butler County. However, you know, we can help supplement what they're already doing. Those cats are probably used to getting anything, you know.
Yeah, true. Jen DiCuccio with us with the Butler County Humane Society talking about their operation right now and how they're operating. And yes, they are open. You can adopt. You can call them if you found a stray and work through that with the Butler County Humane Society. Have you gotten the question often or at all from individuals asking about COVID-19 and does it affect dogs or does it transmit? I mean, have you gotten those kinds of questions?
We have actually not. I think that there's enough circulating on the internet that people probably already know those answers. So they're not coming to us. I will say that we do have a process in place for any strays that come into our building. And in the event that we would have had to have taken in an animal from a COVID positive home, which at this point we have not, thankfully, but I mean, we still do have processes in place that we have to follow for a stray animal when they're coming in and we don't know, you know, what kind of environment they just came from. So we're, you know, adding an extra layer of protection there for us. But, you know, I think that there's enough out there on the media circulating to answer those questions. So, you know, if you're connected to the world that way, you probably already know those answers.
And Jen, let me ask you, because when the world kind of, I don't want to say completely stopped, but, you know, a lot of us were just kind of either furloughed or had to stay at home or worked elsewhere. And of course, everything was uprooted. Did that start to increase the numbers of animals that were at your place? I know any place would have a limit to how many animals that they can have in a building. Did you back up on that limit? Are you seeing a constant flow?
We had a significant drop in our stray intake, which, you know, for us, we were very happy because our focus, we really wanted to focus on getting foster homes and our animals that we currently had adopted. So we actually had a significant drop in our stray intakes for both cats and dogs, which, like I said, I'm truly grateful for that. You know, that could be for a number of reasons. We don't really know. You know, is it because people are not out seeing the strays, you know, running around? Is that one reason? Is it because people are home and they're, you know, they have eyes on their animals? They're, you know, they have them on leashes. You know, it's hard to say why, but I will say that we have had a significant drop since March 13th, really, is when we kind of closed our doors to the public. So,
have you had a drop or an increase in the adoption?
We've had a significant increase in adoptions and fostering. I mean, it's been exponential in the short period of time.
And I always hear that as good news. But let me ask you, is there any cautionary tale in somebody being at home right now and they think, oh, let's just adopt, and not thinking about 6 months down the road? It's almost like getting a puppy at Christmas and then you don't think about all the responsibilities 6 months later. Is there any cautionary tale?
I think for us, that's why we really encouraged foster to adopt in our place. We did not want to force people into committing to this long term or even just fostering in hopes that many would be foster fails. You know, it was important to us for them to have this opportunity to, you know, even if it's just sleepovers and these animals come back, you know, we didn't want that to you know, make the family feel bad, nor have that follow the animal that they were adopted and then returned, you know, when we have to provide our count, you know, our shelter count. So, you know, a lot of our animals either went foster to adopt or foster. And, you know, those that were adopted, you know, those, they knew exactly, you know, most of them honestly are still working. A lot of our families that have the animals are actively still working, or at least one family member is still working.
How long can you foster an animal? Can it last a couple days? Can it last 6 months? How long does that last?
I mean, honestly, it really depends on the medical needs of the animal. You could foster it. You know, my office buddy, Oscar, whom I love and adore, and if my daughter wasn't allergic, he'd be at home with me. But, he's an elderly arthritic cat with diabetes. So he would be forever foster, in my opinion, if I could find the right home. You know, I would continue to provide the medication that he needed and the vet care that he needed. So I think it just depends, you know, varies on the animal. And, you know, if somebody wants to continue, you know, a little bit short period of time, most foster to adopts are 2 weeks. You know, it takes roughly 14 to 21 days for an animal to get into the home and to really adapt and, you know, get into a routine. So, you know, that's our guide, so to speak. you know, but if there's an animal who is very sick, I mean, we would definitely consider a foster forever.
And can you talk about anyone that you have right now, or cat, dog, any animal, I should say, that is able to be fostered or adopted right now? Do you have any kind of description of who all is in the Butler County Humane Society right now?
Yeah, so we actually have Sophia, so she's not quite available yet, but she came in with severe mange, so we're hoping in the next week we'll have the ability to put her into a foster home. We have several dogs and several cats that are either that are just strictly foster right now that are still available on our website. We have a dog, Howie, who's super-duper sweet. He loves other, you know, primarily it's female dogs, but he is a wonderful companion. He's a big dog, which makes it hard for a lot of families, right? I mean, he's a very big dog, but he's almost two. He loves to run and he loves to play. And he, you know, he does love other dogs. He is dog selective. However, you know, if you had a single female out there looking for a companion, he's probably your guy. You know, we have several dogs that make it very difficult to place right now. Tilly and Comet and Paige, just because, you know, they take a long time to warm up to people. So in this type of environment for the shelter, you know, when we're closed to COVID, that's going to be next to impossible to place an animal who, you know, takes weeks to warm up to you. So, you know, that makes it harder. But Howie is definitely one right now that I really wish somebody he would find his perfect home during this COVID crisis, because he's just such a sweet. He's so pretty, too. He's got this beautiful brindle color. There are dogs that are not listed on our website that we have an active foster list that we're going through, and any new fosters that come in, they are not available for adoption for one reason or another, and some of those could be medical issues, like Sophia, who came in with severe mange. We have several cats, so we have 21 cats that are available, and they're all on our website. I mean, every cat ranges in personality from super sweet to, you know, hey, just leave me alone. India is a beautiful white cat with some gray tipping on her ears. She's very shy. So a lot of the cats that we have left are cats that, you know, may not be lap cuddlers, or they just may need, you know, time to warm up. But, you know, I'm confident that people are still applying. I mean, Percy just got an application. So we still, and, you know, as I mentioned before, my buddy Oscar, whom I love, he literally lives in my office. You know, we are still getting applications, which I think is wonderful.
And Jen, can I ask you one more question before I let you go? What do you need, or what can you accept from the public? I know there's a big drive on food, but do you need protective gear? Do you need masks? Do you need food? Do you need pet food? What do you need from us?
You know, honestly, right now, the hardest part for us is we had to cancel our largest fundraiser of the year, which was our fur ball. It was actually scheduled for April 25th, and it was we had to cancel it because of the COVID crisis. That event brings in anywhere between $50,000 and $70,000, and right now there's, you know, we don't know what the future looks like for nonprofits who had to reschedule their events. So we don't have a date scheduled yet. $50,000 to $70,000 for our small rural shelter that doesn't get any funding from our county, our state, or our local municipalities is a huge hit to our fundraising. So the biggest thing, you know, for us right now is, you know, there is a Giving Tuesday now that's prepared for May 5th, 2020. We do have a matching appeal going for that day. It's going to be matched by the 1-6 Foundation. They lost their son, Ty, so they're matching up to $5,000 for this Giving Tuesday now. So just the fundraising aspect, we have to shift, you know, our focus and try to raise that money that we lost from our fur ball event.
And so if we don't want to wait until that May date, what if we want to just give to you now? Is there an easy way online to be able to give financially to the Butler County Humane Society?
Absolutely. So we have our donate button. It's right there on our Facebook page. It's so easy. You click the donate button. It'll take you right to our website. Also, if you'd like to send, they can send in a check to the Butler County Humane Society. And if they want to make it towards that matching, they can just write Giving Tuesday now in the memo line, and then they can just go to our website and just click donate now, and there's a place for a note if they would like to have those funds matched.
Jen, any final thoughts for you? I know I'm going to wrap it up with you, and I hear my dog on the other side of my door wanting to scratch in. So any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us today?
Yeah, I just, you know, for those out there, you know, in my family, my personal family, you know, we didn't get a stop and smell the roses kind of moment during this crisis. You know, my husband's a doctor. Me being the director, busy, very long days still.
Absolutely.
And, you know, yeah, so, and that's the same for a lot of us. So, you know, for those that did or can, you know, still stop to smell the roses, I just ask that they enjoy these moments. And if you have pets, you know, love on them, because, you know, our world is going to turn crazy again when we are allowed to get back to normalcy. Families will be running all over the place, you know, taking kids here, taking kids there. And, you know, from a pet standpoint, just love on them. Give them the, you know, the attention right now, because life is going to get crazy again.
And Jen, I know we're all uprooted. Thank you to your husband for what he does, but thank you for what you do. I appreciate you being out there.
You.
I'm an animal lover as well. So for what you do, I think it's just so crucial for the animals. And you're right. We need to love on the animals right now as well. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Tracy. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. And you have a great day.
You too.